Hello, I'm Ellen Bince, coming today from Wheaton, Illinois, in the United States. Welcome to Impact, a podcast about how we can each bring about real change in the world and getting practical in making that happen.
And hello, I'm Clive Johnson, coming today from Leigh-on-Sea, Essex, in the UK. Special welcome if you're listening for the first time, and a big thank you to our new subscribers. Each week, we look at one aspect of how we can connect our hearts to offer healing for others with our collective intention, prayers, and meditation, and go behind the headlines of a critical happening in our world that needs our attention right now.
In today's episode, we take one of those regular deep dives to more fully understand and tune in with something many of us may know only a little about, and see where we might hone in with our prayers and intentions. And as we record, it's May 15th, 2024.
This week, we turn our attention to a major crisis in the Middle East that is being overshadowed in media attention by the ongoing conflict between Hamas and Israel. This is the acute crisis facing Lebanon and its sizable refugee population. And as we continue to listen to feedback from listeners and develop our format, this week we thought that we would aim to put more emphasis on a variety of areas where we can hold intention and prayer, while at the same time still proposing one specific topic where hopefully we can all come together for specific attention, taking that principle that being specific and focused together, the collective, we can have impact. But as always, we'd welcome your feedback on whether or not you like this format, or indeed any suggestions you have on what you'd like to see us cover in the podcast. Please do get in touch via the Facebook group or through our email on the website.
So, what is the refugee crisis in Lebanon about? I learned in reading this that Lebanon has the highest population of refugees per capita of any country in the world, with one out of every eight people in the country being a refugee. In particular, it's the temporary home for more than an estimated 1.5 million refugees who've fled neighboring Syria since 2011, 90% of whom live in extreme poverty, according to the UN. Most of the refugees are Arabs, but also include ethnic and religious minorities such as Syrian Armenians, Syrian Turkmen, and Syrian Kurds. Around 790,000 are registered with the UN's refugee agency, UNHCR. Lebanon also hosts around 490,000 Palestinian refugees. At least this was the number registered with UNRWA. That's the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East as of March of 2023. Meanwhile, Lebanon itself is in the midst of a dire economic crisis, with the refugee crisis putting severe pressure on its resources. More than 10% of the 1.2 million school-age Lebanese children are out of school, while access for many Lebanese to healthcare services has been drastically reduced. And many health staff have left the country because medicines are in short supply. In addition to Syrian refugees, nearly 2 million Lebanese facing poverty are thought to be food insecure, according to European Union estimates, with this number expected to rise. The Iranian-backed militant group Hezbollah also maintains a strong presence in the country and has continuously exchanged fire across Lebanon's southern border with Israel since last October.
Syria, which has been under the authoritarian regime of Bashar al-Assad now for more than two decades, has been designated an unsafe country since civil war erupted there in 2011. Until January 2015, Syrians fleeing the war in their own country were able to enter Lebanon freely. However, since that time, the country has imposed restrictive and costly residency renewal regulations, which have barred many refugees from maintaining their legal status in the country. Only around 17% of Syrian refugees currently hold legal residency, according to recent reports. And a lack of legal status means many cannot move freely through checkpoints across the country and have difficulty accessing services such as healthcare and education. In recent years, Lebanon's Higher Defense Council has also summarily deported individuals entering Lebanon irregularly, demolished refugees' shelters, and cracked down on Syrians working without authorization, forcing some to return to Syria. A call made by several prominent politicians in Lebanon, putting pressure on the UNHCR to organize returns despite the appalling conditions inside Syria. Human Rights Watch, HRW, confirmed that Lebanon's general security had returned more than 6,000 Syrians in a 28-month period starting back in April 2019. HRW also reported Lebanese forces storming the suspected homes of Syrians living without legal status in the country, and at least several incidents of those arrested then being subjected to ill treatment, including beatings, threats, degrading treatment, and sexual harassment. My goodness.
Oh.
So I have to say, like you, Alan, this situation in Lebanon is something that I really missed my attention, largely. Mm-hmm. I knew there were refugees there, but just didn't appreciate the scale of what has been happening, particularly in recent years, and these human rights abuses and growing pressure within the country to deal with it, with this one in eight people. It's quite an extraordinary number, isn't it?
Yes. And it's you know, you can understand how it's tipping the country sideways with those numbers. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's lots of areas we might think about focusing our intentions and prayers here, I guess. Some compassion among those Lebanese forces that are under orders, I guess, to deal with this, to treat refugees with dignity and respect, not to kind of abuse their own position. That would be one thing that we could focus on.
Yes. And also containment, the conflict between Hezbollah and Israel would help.
Yeah. Definitely. It's scary to think from all sorts of reasons what might happen if that escalates, but clearly that's not going to make this situation any better. Very, very worrying situation.
Mm-hmm. So recent developments in Lebanon have highlighted several key issues regarding refugees involving government policies, public sentiment, and international relations. The first is the government crackdown on Syrian refugees, as we mentioned. Lebanese authorities have intensified actions against Syrian refugees, including raids on refugee camps, arrests, and deportations. The economic crisis and public sentiment, Lebanon's severe economic crisis described as one of the worst in modern history, has exacerbated tensions between the local population and refugees. And some Lebanese officials and segments of the public blame Syrian refugees for the country's economic woes, including job competition and strain on public services, despite international reports highlighting systemic issues and corruption as the root cause of the crisis. And tensions between Syrian and Lebanese factions. Last month, Pascal Suleiman, a senior figure in the Christian Nationalist Lebanese Forces Party, was killed in what the Lebanese military say was a botched carjacking by a Syrian gang. The incident prompted further outbreaks of anti-Syrian violence by vigilante groups.
Also, there are international response to what's going on and human rights concerns. International organizations and human rights groups have expressed alarm over Lebanon's treatment of Syrian refugees. There are concerns about the legality and safety of forced returns, given the ongoing conflict and human rights abuses in Syria. These organizations urge Lebanon and the international community to find humane solutions that respect refugees' rights and dignity. Lebanon is obliged under international law to admit refugees and political asylum seekers and protect them. However, Lebanese legislators and government officials say that their country never signed the 1951 United Nations Refugee Convention or its 1967 Protocol, and increasingly have acted in contravention of it in returning Syrians to a declared unsafe country. We might look also at the Lebanese government stance, Lebanese government defending its policies as necessary for national security and economic recovery. It has called for increased international support and funding to manage the refugee situation and to facilitate voluntary returns to Syria. However, critics argue that the current approach risks violating international law and worsening the humanitarian situation. And then there's the impact on refugees themselves. The increased pressure from Lebanese authorities has left many refugees in a state of fear and uncertainty. Reports, as we said, of arbitrary detentions, forced evictions, and harassment have continued to emerge, with refugees facing difficult choices between staying in Lebanon under what is an increasingly hostile situation, or returning to war-torn Syria, where their safety cannot be guaranteed.
That's a horrible choice to have to make.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So again, there may be something where we can focus our prayers for real guidance and wisdom for those that are in that situation, perhaps.
Yep. Opening diplomatic channels to allow possibly the readiness of Syrian government to return refugees.
Yes. Yes. And seeing what assurances, if any, can be made to protect their safety.
Yes.
And overall, I guess, just wisdom for governments and authorities who are attempting to address, so that's not just Syria, but, you know, the international, so-called international community as well.
Yes.
Attempting to address anxieties and contain potential flares in violence. Now, one possible glimmer of hope is that a new deal brokered between Lebanon and the EU earlier this month to increase support for the refugees in Lebanon may actually provide a way forward. Earlier this month, the European Union, the EU, promised significant support to help Lebanon cope with this influx of refugees, particularly those fleeing the conflict in Syria. Enabling refugees to come to a country that is geographically close to their own, in other words, Lebanon, while avoiding what it would often be a very dangerous water crossing to other destinations in Europe, is a major interest to European countries, which have seen a huge influx of immigrants coming from North Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. In recent years, many of those who've risked dangerous sea crossings in desperation to reach safety, sadly, have not reached their destination. As in many countries around the world, this is, of course, not just an issue in Europe at the moment, an influx of asylum seekers and of hopeful migrants has become a major political issue for many domestic governments. The EU has historically funded humanitarian aid to cover basic needs, provide access to healthcare, shelter, water, and sanitation services, as well as offering legal assistance and counseling for refugees. It has worked to promote job creation, social cohesion, and support access to social protection, education, health, and water services, including enabling over 500,000 refugee children being given access to formal education through EU-supported aid to over 3.5 million Lebanese and Syrian refugees, also benefiting from health services since 2015. But in this new deal announced in recent weeks, which was struck in Beirut, Lebanon's capital, between the European Commissioner, President Ursula von der Leyen, the Lebanese caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati, and Cypriot President Nikos Christodoulidis, the EU will provide 1 billion euros in financial aid to Lebanon over 3 years to prop up the country's economy and help prevent a surge in refugees leaving for other European countries. Grants provided in the package are intended to help Lebanon strengthen its basic services, such as education, social protection, and health, and also to stimulate economic reforms. 3/4 of the cash, that's a total of 736 million euros, is specifically focused on helping the country deal with the challenges it faces in welcoming Syrian refugees. And a further 200 million euros will be used to bolster Lebanese security services enforcing border and migration control. And there's also an unspecified amount that's intended for Lebanese fishermen to discourage them from selling their boats to smugglers. Von der Leyen also vowed to look at a more structured approach to voluntary returns of displaced Syrians in cooperation with the UN Refugee Agency. That's the UNHCR, as we mentioned earlier. EU leaders are seeking a deeper engagement with Beirut as a safeguard response to the wider conflict in the Middle East, recognizing Lebanon's vulnerability if the conflict escalates, and following EU member Cyprus raising concern over a sharp peak in the number of Syrian refugees arriving on its shores from Lebanon. Cyprus, as I'm sure many listeners will know, is out there in the eastern Mediterranean, so it's literally just 200 miles, or less than 200 miles, from the Lebanese coast and Syrian coast. Last month, Cyprus announced a temporary halt in the processing of asylum applications just due to the sheer number of people arriving. More than 1,000 people arrived there by boat from Lebanon during the first 2 weeks of April alone.
Wow. And that's not that big of a country.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Understandable that they have to do something. So, you know, we can intend that the allocation of aid to those who need it most, not just refugees, but Lebanese on or below the poverty line and children lacking education, can get to them.
Exactly. It's not just the refugees, is it? This seems to be one of the, what's causing this domestic political response particularly, is that ordinary Lebanese people are suffering because of the economic situation there, not to mention the conflict, albeit on almost on a tit-for-tat scale with Israel at the moment, but a lot of turmoil.
I don't know, but it seems like $1 billion isn't, over 3 years, is not an extravagant amount of money.
No. It's a question of how it's used, isn't it? And this mm-hmm. must be another thing we must hope for, really, that it's used wisely mm-hmm. and that the Lebanese government authorities have the wisdom to know really where aid is best spent, and not to filter it away into projects for which it's not intended, I guess. That's often been a problem. No reason to believe that this current government won't act in good faith. And it seems that they were very encouraged and welcomed this deal with the EU. But yes, it's got to be monitored as well. And the money's got to be provided by other EU countries.
Right.
So that, you know, it's urgent, isn't it? It's needed quickly.
Oh, we suggest holding as our main focus to tension this week that the Lebanese government and its administrators will be guided in where to distribute and how to coordinate the funding and assistance offered by the EU in the most equitable way to bring maximum benefit both for its own citizens and the refugees within its borders.
Mm. Yeah.
May it be so.
May it be so indeed. Yeah. As you say, it sounds a lot of money, but it's given the scale of everything is being applied for, fixing a country and fixing one of the world's biggest refugee, well, not fixing, but going hopefully some long way to reducing the problems that Lebanon is under, it's got to be applied properly and wisely and smartly.
I guess it's a start.
Indeed. And it's encouraging the EU. I mean, clearly it has its own interests at heart as well. As we say, it's got its own problems taking on migrants,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the boat trafficking is such a serious problem that really no government seems to have been able to resolve so far. Whatever disincentives there have been, it continues. Yeah.
I found it interesting that some of the money was to go to the fishermen.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of these things about diplomacy, isn't it? That sometimes you think, is this ethical at one level? Is it almost like a bribe?
Yeah.
But so there are questions around almost like the lesser of two evils. Do we pay people off to stop them, acting in a way that helps the bad guys, as it were, the smugglers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems that often you do have to engage in that kind of activity, perhaps, in order to find a way forward. And I guess it's not a bribe if it's kind of offered up front, is it, in a sense? It's kind of, we're not making the assumption, approaching the fishermen that selling their boats, that you're automatically in league with with the smugglers. But
they may be doing it out of desperation,
exactly.
And they too might be fighting poverty. Who knows? We don't have enough information to judge that.
We shouldn't
judge it anyway.
No.
But
that is interesting. And I guess it's one of these areas, again, where a bit of wisdom is needed in terms of an intelligence, isn't it? Who is involved? So yes, let's hold that intention. Very clearly, this is a major issue that's not getting perhaps the attention it deserves in the world media.
Yes. That about wraps it up for this episode. Remember, you can connect with us in the Facebook group and for live intention holding in Clive's daily insight timer offerings and with me in the Labyrinth Activist Network's Zoom calls. Details of how to hook up with these are in our show notes. Look out too for our next special topic episode, which we'll be releasing in the next few days. Thank you for listening and for sharing with us and holding intentions. We look forward to connecting again next time. And in the meantime,
remember to give us your feedback on our new format and indeed anything that you'd like to hear in the podcast. Go well, stay safe. See you soon.
And remember, we're more powerful together.
Impact is presented by Ellen Vince and Clive Johnson and produced by Impact Productions. Our theme music is by Chris Collins and our logo artwork is by Auto Classic. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or your favorite podcast provider. We're a non-commercial podcast dedicated to people of any faith tradition or none who yearn for healing in our troubled world. Please pass on the word so others may join us in making an impact. Thank you for listening.